The skinny on the theme parks. What you need to know about the four Walt Disney World theme parks coming up on the Ears on Main Street podcast. Well, hi everybody. I'm Anomaly.
And I'm Todd.
And this is the Ears on Main Street podcast, a weekly podcast about all things Disney. Today we're going to start with a few little news notes. Todd, do you want to start?
Yeah. So, coming out of the pandemic, I believe almost all the resorts will be opening up. They have announced new dates for the ones that are still closed at this moment. All-Star Music will be opening on September 16th. That is one of the value resorts. Port Orleans Riverside and Port Orleans French Quarter, which are going to be a moderate, are opening October 14th and October 28th, respectively. And then another value resort, All-Star Sports, will be opening on December 9th. So if you're planning on going, I believe every resort will be available for your stay.
Great. All right. Next, Disneyland Paris has introduced a paid fast pass system in which you pay per ride per person, which seems like it would get really pricey. And so, of course, people are now wondering, will a paid fast pass system come to Walt Disney World? Because when the parks shut down in 2020, when they opened back up, it was without fast passes. And the excuse they said at the time, Todd, was that they needed those lines for social distancing.
Right, but they really never used them, or very rarely used
them. Well, they used them for disability pass and for rider swap.
Yes.
So we will see what happens, but I can't see that system being very popular. I think it's, what I read was 8 to 12 euros per person per ride.
Yeah, that gets way too expensive really quick.
You know, Disneyland in California has a really great system called Max Pass, and that's $10 per person per day for access to their app. The Fast Passes on the app. You can still get the paper Fast Passes for free.
Yeah, and I think people have shown that they are putting the Fast Pass kiosks out in some locations at Disney World.
Yeah, so something is going to happen, but we're not sure what.
Also, just in other news, the menus have been released for the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot, which starts July 15th and runs through November 20th. So they have little kiosks throughout the park that feature some unique items.
If you're into food or wine, it's a really fun event. We've gone a few times, and it's just fun to kind of sample the little, you know, it's international foods. So it's definitely a fun time. Next news is the Avengers Quantum Encounter has been announced to be debuting at the Worlds of Marvel restaurant on the new Disney cruise ship, The Wish. They're describing it as a cinematic dining adventure, and it's supposed to be unlike anything that has previously been known. So if you are an Avengers fan, if you're a Marvel fan, it's probably going to be really fun, really immersive, and that will be once again on the brand new Disney cruise ship called the Disney Wish, which is having its maiden voyage next spring, I believe. So that's something to look out for. All right, Todd, do you want to get into the skinny on the theme parks?
Yeah, so we kind of went back and forth what to talk about today. And since this is only our third episode, we kind of thought we would just give a kind of a quick overview of each of the four Disney World theme parks, or located at the Disney World Complex in Orlando, Florida.
So we're going to start with the original park. You have to start there, right?
Yeah. So Magic Kingdom opened in 1971, and it's based off of the Magic Kingdom in Disneyland in Anaheim, California. Not an exact replica, but there are lots of items that are the same at both locations.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think after Walt built Disneyland in California, he wanted something bigger, right? He started buying land in Florida under various assumed names and had a plan to build a grander theme park. on this new land. So the Magic Kingdom was born. It's on the body of water called the Seven Seas Lagoon, which is a man-made lagoon. The Magic Kingdom features the iconic Cinderella Castle, which is a much larger castle than Sleeping Beauty, which is in California, which is still a beautiful castle, by the way.
So Disney World Magic Kingdom is made up of different lands. So you walk through and you go down a main street, which leads to the castle. And then there's a hub, which leads to all the different lands. There is Adventureland.
Frontierland.
Fantasyland. Tomorrowland.
Liberty Square. Yep. So most of your classic attractions that you kind of see in the pictures are associated with the Magic Kingdom rides, such as Dumbo and Peter Pan.
It's a small world.
The Haunted Mansion. So it's a lot of dark rides, which is something that was developed in the making of Disneyland, as well as some coasters, like family coasters, and spinner rides, as they're called, which is Dumbo, which is something which just rotates around on a stationary center. They're also a large part of Magic Kingdom are the shows featuring audio animatronics, which is technology that was developed during Walt's lifetime and during the development of the Disneyland parks. He created the parrots for the Enchanted Tiki Room and the bears that are featured in the Country Bears Jamboree, two of our favorite shows.
Right, and the Jamboree is, it's been around since opening, so it is 50 years old, and a lot of people just kind of, blow it off, but just back in the day when that first appeared, it was so advanced because computers were really in their infancy and were the size of, whole houses, so they were able to get to program these animatronics to act like they're alive.
Yeah, and I think they've advanced the technology. They're now operated with computers, whereas in the old days they were operated almost by hand. I'm not sure the exact technology.
It was like an analog system, a tape system that would just make them click and do this. So it was very advanced for the time and has definitely probably led to some of the computer technologies that we know today.
So as far as dining options, Magic Kingdom has everything from character dining to quick serve to popcorn stands. You can really get anything there. They have the very fancy prefix menu at Be Our Guest, where you can meet the Beast from Beauty and the Beast in the evening at dinner. They have Crystal Palace, where you can meet Tigger, Winnie the Pooh, Piglet, and Eeyore. There's Cosmic Rays, where you can pick up a burger and some chicken.
And who's at Cosmic Rays?
Sunny Eclipse.
Yes, and one of the classic, he's not original, but he is a time travel, not a time, a space traveler who serenades you with songs. And then also you forgot about the, maybe one of the bigger draws for certain people, but they have the Princess Buffet inside Cinderella Castle.
Oh, yes. The iconic princess. It's not a buffet, but Cinderella. What is it called?
Cinderella's Royal Table, I believe.
Yes. Cinderella's Royal Table, where the princesses will, they don't currently come to your table, but like we said in last week's episode, it's slightly different where they'll socially distance and say hello and go around the room. And that is something that we always say, you got to do it at least once,
right?
It's not for everybody, but there's nothing like eating inside the castle. It's
right.
A very magical experience.
Yeah, and seeing and meeting most of the princesses, Cinderella, Snow White, Ariel.
Yeah, it's a rotating schedule.
Yeah.
You never know who you're going to meet there. And there are currently no character meet and greets going on at the Magic Kingdom, but there are cavalcades, which will go from Frontierland down Main Street throughout the day, and you can see such characters as the princesses, You can see Mickey and Minnie and Pluto and Goofy. So you just have to keep an eye out for whenever you hear the music, look to Main Street the Hub.
Yeah, it's like a quick parade with just really one or two kind of floats.
Yeah.
You know, or like Gaston will sometimes show up and he'll be riding a horse. Mm-hmm. And Merida will sometimes show up riding a horse also.
Yeah.
So something fun.
So for getting to Magic Kingdom, you can take a ferry boat from the parking lot. You can take a monorail from the parking lot. You can also, if you're staying on property, take a bus directly to the park. And you can walk if you are staying at the Contemporary or Grand Floridian. There's a walkway right to the park.
And the Polynesian, because you can walk from the Polynesian to the Grand Floridian. And also there is some boat transportation from a couple of the resorts to the Magic Kingdom. So that's, you know, part of the experience also right there is definitely the different types of transportation you can get, because Magic Kingdom does not have a parking lot that is attached to the Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. You have to park away, and that's part of the whole show, really. Mm-hmm. If you ride up, you know, you ride across on the monorail or you ride across on the ferry boat, and then all of a sudden there is Magic Kingdom. So
yeah, it's really magical.
Yeah.
Yep. Anything else you want to say about Magic Kingdom?
No, I mean, I think that covered just kind of a really, really, really general overview of what to expect there.
And Todd, how many days would you recommend people schedule for the Magic Kingdom?
Well, I mean, at least one. If it depends on how. I mean, I would definitely recommend that as one of your parks if you only had a 2 or 3 days to choose from. But I think if you have a chance, 2 days is great, because there are so many of the classic rides and so much to see now that the fireworks have returned. Mm-hmm. That's a great one to do. Yeah, definitely has the most attractions mm-hmm. of any of the parks. So, you know, 1 day you can get it done. 2 days makes it a lot better.
Right. And especially if you are a Disney fan and you're going for the first time, you're going to want to see Carousel of Progress. You're going to want to do the Tiki Room and the Country Bears. And those shows all take time. I think the Carousel of Progress is close to 20 minutes long, something like that. So, and that's another, is that an opening day?
It's a very early
Came
from the New York World's Fair. Right. So it's,
Walt had a hand in designing that. So definitely you could, you know, have a great time in 1 day, but 2 days minimum is going to be what you want to plan for the Magic Kingdom. All right. Well, next in our timeline would be Epcot.
Yes. What does Epcot stand for?
It stands for the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, and that park opened in 1982.
Yes, and it's definitely, it was part of Walt's bigger vision of a community that would be in the future. Mm-hmm, so kind of like a central area and suburbs kind of outlying with all types of different transportation.
Yep.
So if you are in the Magic Kingdom, you can actually see one of the original models of Epcot that he came up with. And so they opened the theme park, and, you know, the kind of the original direction was, it was two different lands, would per se. One was called Future World, and the other was the World Showcase.
Yep, World Showcase. Right, so in Future World, you have Spaceship Earth, which is the icon for that park. A lot of people say it looks like a big giant golf ball. You'll probably hear lots of kids point and say, look at the big giant golf ball.
Right.
but there is a ride in there, if you didn't know. It's a slow-moving, dark ride talking about the history of communication. It's actually really educational and informative and entertaining.
Yes.
They're actually planning a refurb for that, but we don't know. Right. They've kind of put it off. But anyway. Right. Also in Future World, you have rides such as Soarin, which is a hang glider type simulator. You've got Test Track, which is a car-based ride. There's Mission Space.
Yeah.
a space type ride.
Right.
So, you know, not necessarily future themed rides, but I think that was the original concept. It's kind of gone by the wayside right, over the years.
Right, because technology started advancing, because opening in 1982, I think they realized pretty quick that technology was advancing very, very quickly, and they could not keep up with it. Also, there's the Seas is another part of Future World, which has a huge aquarium, which nobody really ever talks about. But they have manatees, and you can dine at Coral Reef, and there is a huge window that looks into the aquarium while you dine.
Yeah, it's a several million gallon aquarium featuring sharks, dolphins, manatees. Manatees, yes. They have two rehabilitated manatees there. Lots of fish, sea turtles, all kinds of. So if you've got a kid or an adult that's into sea life and the ocean, then you've got to hit the Seas for sure. And there is actually a ride integrated into the Seas based on the Finding Nemo movie. Anything else about Future World?
No, I mean, it's right now it is in age. They are updating it. There is a Guardians of Galaxy ride roller coaster that is supposed to be happening. I mean, it's been being built for going on 4 years now.
Yeah.
So nobody has said anything about an opening date.
It better be good.
Yeah. What is the second part of Epcot?
World Showcase.
Yeah. And what is World Showcase?
So World Showcase is centered around World Showcase Lagoon, and it is a progression of different countries that have pavilions, I believe they're called, around the lagoon. And it's really fun because you get to walk from China to Italy to Germany, and they've got kiosks with food. And I think almost each pavilion has a sit down and a quick serve. Not all of them, but most of them. There is obviously gift shops in each of the pavilions, because you can buy anything from cuckoo clocks to Japanese candy to Mexican sombrero.
Yes.
So it's kind of cool. You get a flavor of, you know, different countries around the world. And in pre-pandemic times, they would actually have cast members from those countries, which was really, really very cool. So you just give your kids some exposure to people from other parts of the world.
And then the designs of the buildings were kind of based on traditional, what you would see in a small, maybe German town. There was Mexico is a pyramid. France is kind of based on, you know, what you might see in Paris. And there's even a small Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, so it's just fun to, a lot of people will drink around the world or eat around the world. That's a really, really popular activity. There's also a couple rides back there. There's a ride in the Mexico Pavilion. There is a ride in the Norway Pavilion, an incredibly popular ride based on the Frozen movies. And there are some shows. There's a show in China, a show in France, a show in Canada.
Canada, yes.
Yeah, so I think they have like these big circle vision theaters. Yeah.
And some of the, also pre-pandemic and hopefully maybe coming back, there were like performers from China. There was would always be a Canadian band playing kind of traditional Canadian music, I mean Celtic style. And then also there is a new ride coming to the France Pavilion.
Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, opening October 1st.
Which has been a very, very popular ride at Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
So definitely it's a lot of fun. It's about a mile around the showcase. But you do get to experience all these worlds or different countries. And also that is where Epcot is known for, as you heard earlier in the broadcast. There's a lot of festivals that they have at Epcot.
Right. Festivals is a huge part of Epcot.
And that all take place in the part of the world, in the World Showcase, right? So there's the Food and Wine Festival, which we said starts in July.
Right. There's the Arts Festival in the wintertime and the Flower and Garden in the spring.
And then also there is the, in the past years, and hopefully this year there will be a kind of a holiday celebration.
Right, holidays around the world, which is one of my favorites because they'll have different depictions of Christmas, you know, characters from around the world. Père Noël in France and, I don't know, the other.
A German Santa Claus. Right. Whatever. So, yeah, following the traditions. And then there's the, what's the singing?
All right, Todd, what kind of transportation can one take to Epcot?
Well, there's many, well, in the past, and hopefully very soon, the monorail does run to Epcot. It has not opened, but there hopefully are rumors that it will be opening soon since a lot of the hotels are opening. You can also get there via the Skyliner, which is going to be the gondola. And there's also boats that will drop you off right at Epcot. The friendship boats. I mean, of course, you can drive.
And a bus.
I think it's definitely a one-day park, unless you really, unless you're coming for a festival or unless you're trying to eat around the world, because the rides are a little more limited. So if you're there for the rides, you can pretty much knock all those out fairly easy. Definitely it's a food style, more food style park.
Yeah, I would also do one day. We sometimes do, if we have a park hopper or if we're staying close to Epcot, we'll do like a day and a half.
Yes.
Because it is really fun to walk around World Showcase at night, especially now that the nighttime shows are coming back. There will be fireworks at Epcot, so that's a reason that you might want to do, you know, a morning there and stay until the evening. So, one full day. All right, Tom. Next in our timeline of theme parks, we've got Hollywood Studios. What year did Hollywood Studios open?
I believe 1989 and was called MGM.
Right, right. It was originally called MGM Studios.
MGM, yeah.
But it's changed its name to Hollywood, Disney's Hollywood Studios.
And what was the original concept, kind of? It was going to be more of a...
I thought they were going to have, like, working television studios. I think they did.
Yeah. They were going to maybe kind of make it like a Hollywood East, where they might film some shows in front of studio audiences. And they had a back lot set up with a house from a TV show. I forget what it was, an ABC show. But that was kind of the idea. And they were, I think they also were going to have animators working on property... and that did not last too long.
So it's kind of changed now, but it's still really enjoyable. They have a few different lands throughout the park. There is the front of the park, which is kind of a retro Hollywood theme. There's Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset Boulevard. And there is one ride, two rides in that area, the Tower of Terror and the Rock and Roller Coaster. Yeah.
Hollywood, it's the Hollywood Tower of Terror, so that's based on a 1920s hotel that you would see in Hollywood, and that kind of plays into the theming.
And it's with the Twilight Zone.
And with the Twilight Zone, yes.
And then there is Toy Story Land. There's the Echo Lake area, which has the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular.
Right.
It's kind of like there aren't super specific perimeters to each of the lands. There's kind of just areas between the lands that are, you know, you just kind of have to go through to get from one land to another.
Right, like there's the Chinese theaters there. That's kind of one of the icons.
Yeah, I consider that to be part of like the old Hollywood.
Right, and then there was like one of the restaurants is the Backlot Express, so that was kind of based on the idea of like maybe that's where the people that worked on the sets worked at. So there's paint and, you know, stuff like that in there.
And then the last land would be Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which is the largest land of any Disney park. Opened up in 2019.
Yeah, the end of 2019.
I can't believe it's been almost 2 years already. And that is obviously a Star Wars base. It's got the Millennium Falcon. It's got the Rise of the Resistance, which is Disney's newest and most technologically advanced ride. And if you're a Star Wars fan, why are you not already there?
Yes.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Everything that fits into the Star Wars universe, there are many areas to shop. There's Oga's Cantina. The restaurants are quick serves, but they're based on the idea of, you know, of space.
Right.
Star Wars.
Yeah. So some of the big rides at Hollywood Studios, like we said, is the Hollywood Tower of Terror. There's the Aerosmith's Rock and Roller Coaster. There is Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which is, I think, the newest. Yes. The newest attraction. There is the Slinky Dog Coaster back in Toy Story Land. There is the Midway Mania ride. And then there's
Star Wars.
Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance.
And Star Tours.
And Star Tours. So you really have all of the newest rides at Hollywood Studios.
They're all kind of thrill rides. There's no, like, you know, Magic Kingdom, the spinner rides are kind of filler rides. So every ride is kind of like a really, as they say, an e-ticket ride.
Yeah, but not a thrill ride.
Thrill ride, no. But
no, because Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is very much a family ride.
Yeah.
Slinky Dog is a family coaster.
Right.
I would say really the most thrilling ride they have there is the Rock and Roller Coaster, which is an inversion coaster.
Right.
An indoor in the dark. So that's one to, you know, if you're a coaster fan, it's great. If you're not, kind of could be a one and done. I don't know. I definitely don't need to do it every ride, every trip.
And also, I mean, Hollywood Studios does have a lot in the past, and I assume we'll be opening up. It does have a lot of shows. So right now there's a Beauty and the Beast show, or there has been, that's still open.
There's the Frozen Sing-Along.
Frozen Sing-Along.
Which is so much fun. You have to do it.
The Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular.
Which is not currently
open. Yeah. And there's a Little Mermaid show.
Which is not currently
open. But, in the, you know, like I said, in the past. And then there was the Nighttime Spectacular was Fantasmic. So there was a lot of shows were part of Disney's Hollywood Studios.
All right. And as far as dining, you've got some really fancy restaurants. There's the Hollywood Brown Derby, which is in the style of the original Brown Derby in Los Angeles. There is the 50s Primetime Cafe, which is amazing theming, and your server is like a family member who tells you to get your elbows off the table. So it's kind of a shtick. You know, where you go in knowing that you're kind of going to be abused. So
yes.
Keep that in mind. There's also the Hollywood and Vine, which is a character meal served family style right now. There's Mama Melrose, which is an Italian, you know, kind of hit and miss.
Right.
I would say it's probably better than Tony's Town Square in the Magic Kingdom. You've got some decent quick serves, but I would say probably my favorite quick serve there is Docking Bay 7 in Galaxy's Edge. They have the most unique offerings. All the other quick serves are pretty standard with burgers and chicken.
Yeah.
They do have a lot of like specialty cupcakes and desserts throughout the year. So if you're somebody who enjoys snacks, you keep an eye out for the offerings that they've got going on while you're there.
And also there's Andy's Lunchbox, which is kind of unique.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a little unique. And then they're supposed to be opening a barbecue restaurant based on Toy Story.
Yes. TBD.
TBD. Yes.
Todd, how many days or how is it a half day park for you?
I think it's a full day park because especially, I mean, Batuu or Galaxy's Edge is very, very immersive. There is a lot you can do that is attached to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of walking around the land, it's very, there's a lot to see, lots of like kind of hidden stuff in Batuu. And, you know, also Toy Story Land is really cool to walk around, just looking at the giant footprints.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, you can get most of it done in a half day, but I would definitely recommend one full day. A lot of people say it is a half day park, but well, right now a lot of the rides will take a while to get on.
Yeah, and I think what people have said is it's gone from a half day park to a full day park, if not a 2 day park, because with Rise of the Resistance, you can only ride that ride with getting in a virtual queue. And that is not easy. And a lot of times you will not get in that virtual queue. So it might be where you have to go 2 days. If you really have your heart set on riding Rise of the Resistance, you might have to schedule another day. I mean, we went what, 2 or 3 days on our last trip, and we never got a in the virtual queue. So it is very competitive, and we will tell you in a future episode how to get on that. So for Hollywood Studios, your transportation options are many, right? Mm-hmm. You can get a boat from the Crescent Lake resorts, such as Beach Club, Yacht Club, Boardwalk, Swan and Dolphin. You can take the Skyliner, again, from resorts like Pop Century, Art of Animation, the Riviera, Caribbean Beach. You can get a bus from all the other resorts,
mm-hmm.
and you can drive your own personal car. All right, Todd, what is our last park?
Last park that opened was in 1998.
Mm-hmm, on Earth Day.
Earth Day, yes. Animal Kingdom.
Yay, I love Animal Kingdom. Yeah.
And so this is probably one of the more thought out and cohesive parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can definitely tell they put a lot of thought into, I mean, it had to have been challenging. Like, okay, we're going to do animals. We know that. But right. Like, how are you going to bring a theme to this park, right? So what they've done, I mean, when you think about it, is kind of weird. They've got Africa, which is definitely a country I think of when I think of animals. There's Asia, which also, yes, has a lot of amazing animals. But then how did they come up with Dino Land?
I think it was more of just thrown together.
I think they had a couple concepts for different lands when they were developing the park. There was going to be like a magical beasts theme.
Right.
There actually was a Camp Mickey Mini several years ago that got torn down to make the new land, which is the world of Avatar, Pandora, which is based on the movie Avatar.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you might say, oh, yeah, I remember that movie. I, you know, could take it or leave it. But, and I felt the same way. But the land is amazing. Probably, I mean, it's definitely on par with Galaxy's Edge, if not superior, just because it's so, so thoroughly themed. I mean, the sounds, the flora, the
floating mountains.
The floating mountains in the distance, the forced perspective as like the mountains get smaller as they go further away from you. And the rides are amazing. So that's some things about Animal Kingdom. So those are the lands. Todd, what kind of e-rides do they have at Animal Kingdom?
Well, the two in Pandora, especially Flight of Passage, which mm-hmm. is probably the best ride overall.
Yeah.
Then they also have the Kilimanjaro Safaris, which is based on the African safari,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, it's a 20-minute ride through
different types of environments that you'd see in Africa.
Oh, yeah, like a savanna and like stuff like that.
A rainforest.
Rainforest, right. So you do get to see a lot of animals there. Mm-hmm. What kind
of animals do you see?
Lions. There's a cheetah there, giraffes, lots of giraffes, mm-hmm. lots of Watusi cattle, ostriches. So
wildebeest,
zebras.
Yeah, very cool.
And then also there is Expedition Everest,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
based on a Yeti.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's you're on a train going through the Himalayas. And you come into contact with the mythical Yeti.
Yeah.
And you have to escape the Yeti.
Right.
It's definitely a thrill ride. It's definitely not for everybody. But it is one of the best coasters I've ever been on.
Yes. Very well themed. And then also there is there's a raft ride, Cali River Rapids,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is, you know, it's a raft ride.
Yeah, it's too short.
Well, also there is Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Which is located in Dino Land. Dinosaur is based on the idea of going back in time to bring a dinosaur back for research.
Right. So it's, well, if you know Disneyland at all, it's the same track as Indiana Jones. It's a kind of, you're in a Jeep, and it's very rough.
Yeah.
Very rough, very dark, very intense. So
little, you get jostled.
Yeah, children might not be into it. We mean, our 13-year-old still does not care for it because just it gets very, very dark.
Yes.
I love it. I think it's great. But it's also loud. And then there are large animatronic dinosaurs that get up in your face. What kind of dining?
Dining has...
One of our favorite restaurants. Two of our favorite restaurants are there. There is...
Tiffin's?
A signature restaurant called Tiffin's, which is very high-end, very expensive, very, very amazing. Just some of the best food I've ever had on property.
And what's it based on? African? It's Indian?
Yeah, it's kind of pan-African, pan-Asian, I would say, like, influences of India, influences of, like, Nepal and stuff like that. So there's also Tusker House, which is the character meal there, served family style, and you'll meet Mickey and Daisy and Donald, and their safari gear, which is super fun. There's also Yak and Yeti, which is a Landry-owned restaurant. It's not a Disney-owned restaurant, but it's really good, kind of Asian, pan-Asian, dumplings, noodles, chicken, egg rolls, stuff like that.
And then probably one of the best quick serves is there also.
Yeah, as far as quick serves, there is Satuli Canteen in Pandora, which has a really cool bowl concept, which I wish more of the quick serves would get into this, like, customizable bowl concept.
Yeah.
You choose a base, you choose a protein, you choose what kind of, like, dressing or sauce you want on it. Really, really good. Yeah, so, and they also have cheeseburger pods for the kids. Yeah,
but it's a simple concept, but it's really good and it works. And it's it's a quick serve, so they can, get you you get a good meal quickly.
And you can mobile order. Yeah. Or you should mobile order.
Yes.
There's also Flame Tree Barbecue. And then there are a lot of little kiosks. There's a tea place, which I always want to get tea when I'm there, but it's always so hot. And what am I going to do with this boiling hot cup of tea?
Right.
There's ice cream, there's popcorn, there's, again, a lot of seasonal cupcakes. So you just kind of have to do your research to see where all the cupcakes are and treats.
And then also, didn't mention, in pre-pandemic times, there was also Africa was one of the lands. And there would be African performers, definitely acrobats.
Yeah.
And African wood carvers.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And then Asia also would have Bollywood style dancing too. And there's the bird show.
Right. And the bird show. So, that's right.
So I would definitely recommend Animal Kingdom. I think it's very close to being as cool as the Magic Kingdom. I mean, you could definitely knock it out in one day, but 2 days, I think, is a good recommendation so you can see everything, because there is the Gorilla Falls Trail. There's trails that you can walk on that will have animals that you can observe. There's an aviary. There's some bats there. You can see tigers.
Gorillas.
So definitely, I mean, you can rush through it and you can see it, or you can take your time and really enjoy the theming of the trails. So it's kind of like a zoo, but it's really nicely themed.
Yeah. And they also have Rafiki's Planet Watch. Well, you take a train, first of all, and then there's a petting zoo. There's like an animal rehab. It's where they have all the... Sometimes, if you're lucky, you can see them doing a surgical procedure on one of the animals. They have kind of small creatures in aquariums, as far as I remember, like little invertebrates and reptiles and amphibians. And they have an animation academy, right? A drawing.
Yeah.
You can go and an animator will lead a class on how to draw a particular character. That's a fairly new offering, but something that you might want to do if you're kind of, you know, done on the ride. Sometimes you can just be burnt out on rides and going from one thing to another, so it's nice to kind of sit down. And that's what I like most about Animal Kingdom, is you can just, if you want to just walk along these trails and see the animals and, you know, see the birds, you can do that instead of always going from, you know, ride to ride.
Right.
I mean, I hate to say Magic Kingdom isn't my favorite, but I have to say I think Animal Kingdom is my favorite of the parks. Mm-hmm. So we always try to spend at least 2 days there. And I highly recommend, this is the one park where I feel like get there early, because a lot of the rides can get, especially Flight of Passage, can have a really high wait time. And also, it is just nice to walk around when there aren't a lot of people.
Right.
And the main icon of this park is the Tree of Life. I forgot to mention that, which is a huge man-made tree with animals carved into the side, many, many animals.
Yeah,
and
300
that could,
plus, I believe.
That could be, you know, a half of a day right there is trying to find as many animals as you can. Yeah. So it's definitely a great time for the whole family.
Yeah. And I know Animal Kingdom is one of the parks that will usually close the earliest.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately, the only way to get to Animal Kingdom is via bus.
Right. Yeah. So at this time, bus transportation or driving your own vehicle is mm-hmm. the only way to Animal Kingdom. So, Todd, is there anything else you want to add?
I think we gave a nice overview of all the parks.
Yeah, well, that's the skinny on the four Walt Disney World theme parks. Of course, that's, you know, just one part of the Walt Disney World Resort. There's a lot of other stuff to do besides theme parks, but we just wanted to give you guys kind of an overview so you know what to expect when you get there. We see a lot of people that don't really know anything about the parks when they get there and are surprised, sometimes shocked by what they see.
Right.
So,
and they're shocked that Harry Potter World is not there.
Right. No Harry Potter at Disney. That's the most important thing. If you learn nothing else from this podcast, learn that. Well, guys, thanks for listening to the Ears on Main Street podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe and share with your friends, leave a review, and please give us a 5-star rating. And you can also buy us a coffee at the link in our episode description. Next week, I don't know what we're going to get up to, but it's going to be Disney related, I can tell you that much. So until then, we'll see you on Main Street.
Bye.